The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman. We've got so much wrestling to discuss that I hope we've got enough time to do this, but could I borrow some time zones for our boy from the other side of the planet, Mr. Bad News Beeman?
Yes, I'm very unfamiliar with how much time I've got compared to you, so I don't know.
Darn it. And someone who takes big advantage of the New York Minute, Jason Block.
This was one of the most insane weeks in a long time. So let's get right to it. And again, I love you, Brooklyn, but sometimes you guys could be just such a pain in the ass. Oh, dear God.
And speaking of pains in the asses, no, I shouldn't say it that way. Somebody who's got a lot of pains in his asses right now, that would be our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier.
Thank you, fuck you, bye. My return to DFW, that is.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Carl, you know, we know you got a lot going on, so just, you know, pipe in when you get a second. I know you've got a pile on your table there.
Yeah, add on a possible hurricane coming. Oh, boy.
And not Shane Helms.
Although, interesting story, Shane Helms is going to come down here for a local promotion coming up.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Go see him. He's a great guy.
I will jump in, and as you mentioned, there's a couple things I do want to talk about, so...
But let us go back to Saturday night, which started this whole mess, when we had the third edition of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn.
And as the notes reflect, this was an amazing show. They had there wasn't a bad match on the card.
No, this is ROH. No, I'm sorry. This is NXT. I'm sorry. Did
what?
I get that wrong?
No. You're right. I mean, just the fact that, you know, we've got Red Dragon and now Adam freaking Cole.
Bebe.
I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen this somewhere before.
Yeah.
Some guy named Kevin Steen was involved.
And some guy named El Generico and some guy named Brian Danielson and some guy named CM Punk. I mean,
this big
Samoa
dude named,
Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say, this big dude named Samoa Joe. I don't know whatever happened to him. Anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, look. Good on ROH to be the second developmental company of the WWE. You know?
Seriously. I posted on my Facebook a couple of weeks ago, all of these guys that I met, you know, that I've either met at Ring of Honor or met in WWE over 10 years ago. The fact that I had completely forgotten that I had recruited Danielson all the way back in like 05, 06. That I still have my pick with Roderick Strong. Now he looks old enough to shave. Congratulations, man.
Yes.
Samoa Joe. I have a pick from, you know, I have picks from him from TNA. I know I saw him in Ring of Honor, but I don't think I met him at Ring of Honor. I met Aries at Ring of Honor. Egad, who else did I, like I said, I've met, you know, I still don't have Generico or Sammy. I'm working on it. So yeah, beautiful show, beautiful opportunity for all of those who came through NXT, decided to show up for a bit of a reunion.
Minus Charlotte, of course.
Well, yeah, she's her own woman. Woo. Anyway,
Well, no, actually, she was taking care of her dad. We all know that.
I know. I'm being mostly facetious.
Her dad's doing better. So, crossing fingers.
Good on you, Nate. But yeah, if you had a problem with anything that happened on let me rephrase that. I only have one problem with this show. We has a slightly damaged Asuka.
Yeah. Question, Shane, do you think they're going to strip her of the title, or do you think they're just going to wait till next takeover?
I don't know. She's being way too protected at the moment, so she wouldn't be the first champion that's been away for weeks on end and doesn't get stripped of the title, Brock Lesnar.
Thank you.
We'll wait and see. Because from what we're hearing, Ember Moon's possibly getting a call up soon. So yeah, I don't know. See what happens.
So you're saying that Asuka should have dropped the title on Saturday.
Well, no. Before I found out about the whole Ember Moon situation, I demanded that Ember Moon get the damn title, because there's no one else on that damn roster that could legitimately beat Asuka. But yeah, but now that you found out Ember Moon's getting called up before Asuka, it's like, that makes no sense when she hasn't even won the NXT Women's Championship yet.
But we also have a new world title, and boy, was that a main event.
That's big four worthy stuff. Mm-hmm. Not just the match itself. The match itself was amazing, and I'm a Drew McIntyre fan from OVW, so I might be a little biased. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, of course, to Drew, and kudos for both guys getting "quote unquote" played in.
Yes, by Code Orange and the Digital Piano and the New York Emerald Pipes Band. Fuck yeah, that was awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Code Orange did play Aleister Black in, and that's more than appropriate. And you know, mm-hmm. Aleister Black and Hideo Itami, that's worth more than $9.99. Thank you. Oh, by the way.
And Shen Almas actually wrestled the match of his life so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gargano didn't help him. Those two tore the house down just to start.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
So, wonderful, wonderful show, which means, you know, maybe we just wore out the Brooklyn crowd when Sunday came along. Or they were just being dicks, or WWE actually did turn the mics down on them when we got to the show.
Well, SummerSlam, as I said to all the people, SummerSlam was a solid show. It wasn't a great show. It was a solid show. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, kudos to NXT for also having Corey Graves and JR and all those people on as guest commentators as well.
Yes.
You know, and here's
and
the funny.
And they still couldn't get rid of Percy Watson. Anyway,
oh God, he was terrible. But here's the interesting thing. The pre-show for SummerSlam had some of the better stuff than the main card. What the hell?
Okay. I'm going to submit a rant on behalf of my traveling buddy who's been to more pay-per-views than I can count. My boy Skinny John. posted on Facebook that a good portion of the audience missed the Hardys match because they wrestled within, you know, 20-25 minutes of the doors opening.
That was Barclay's fault, okay? Barclay's effed up on that and made it look like an indie show, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's horse shit. You're in New York. You guys know how this stuff works. You need those doors open a solid fucking hour before anybody hits the ring. Especially
someone fucked up on the security time. Someone fucked up there.
Yeah, so John was pissed because I know he spent the big bucks. I know he paid for a chair seat. And chair seat in New York, it ain't cheap. And he misses the Hardys?
Well, the Hardys match was meh, to be honest.
But I'm guessing this was probably the first chance Skinny... No, I can't say that. He was at Mania. Still, when you pay that much money and you have that big of a marquee name... And you almost completely missed the match.
Well, also, one thing, though. Whoops.
Honk.
Honk, honk.
All right.
Okay, that's all right. I mean, but even with that, you had two spectacular matches afterwards. Neville regaining the title for the Cruiserweights in a great 20-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
And then the New Day and Usos tearing it up one more time.
Yes, and I wanted to correct your notes, Jason. The outfits per the New Day were actually Red Lantern shout-outs.
Were they? We swore that they were Thundercats.
You commentary even said Red Lanterns.
You mean as in Green Lantern, Red Lantern, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Double, there's like a triple geek in there somewhere. Okay.
Oh, absolutely, and that's because you've got three geeks, so you got to have enough geek for everybody. On top of this geek, we had Doofus.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in charge of marketing at KFC, but give that man a raise.
I can tell you right now, all of us that were on the live show corpsed over this. We were just like, what the fuck are we watching? Dolph Ziggler versus HBK for KFC Colonel Rights. Book the match.
I'm there.
Yeah. No, because what happened was they were auditioning for the new king, and you had Goldust in there.
This is an important audition for me.
R-Truth, Dolph Ziggler, Alexa Bliss. Oh, sorry, not Alexa Bliss. Becky Lynch.
And Big Show. I lost weight for this part.
And Becky with a nod and a wink out to the because diversity.
Yes, yes. And then you had Mojo Rawley in there, and it's like, who's it going to be? And it was the rumor was it was supposed to be Mr. Ric Flair, but of course, as we said, he's still not feeling very well. So it went to HBKFC.
And the fact that he actually goes out to the live crowd is doing the whole HBK bit with the makeup on. But still, underneath there, you can see that smirk and that little shrug like, it's wrestling.
The check cleared. I've done worse. I posed for Playgirl.
I was young. I was dumb. You told me girls read that magazine. So, you know, this puts everybody in a great mood. And here, you know, off we go to the show. And the first thing that happens is... Do 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 do.
And I was stunned at this. Stunned.
But then when we saw the result, we're like, that makes perfect fucking sense.
Yes. Yes.
Because this was the ultimate burial. This is something even Undertaker looks at and goes, "Damn, that was a bit harsh."
Well, I mean, they'd already cut Corbin off at the legs with the botched cash in.
then they kick him in the nads with this.
Seriously. You know, I am has somebody, you know, given up on the quote unquote Corbin experiment? Is he not, is this just saying, you know, you're not ready. You ain't trying.
No, according to backstage sources, the reason for the Corbin burials as of late is because Corbin won't shut the tweet up.
Dude. Okay.
Because of his attitude on Twitter and publicly, WWE decided that, yep, you're not ready for this push and you don't deserve it, so they've buried him. So Vince didn't screw Corbin, Corbin screwed Corbin.
But, it's not necessarily over yet, as we'll find out later on this week.
Well, no, and I just happen to know that Jason was dancing. It was, you know, probably dancing all over his living room when he saw that.
Oh, I absolutely. Oh, yeah, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic, and
it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. it couldn't. Not at all. It was great. I mean, I didn't expect it to be that much of El Squash Fest, but that's fine. So,
but speaking of El Squash Fest, so we can actually get to the good stuff. Who the fuck is Rusev pissed off?
Apparently, he's had people pissed off for months.
And the rumor is that he and Lana have. That's with maybe news with a Z. I don't know, but I've heard rumors to the effect that he wants out.
Lana. Well, Lana actually commented on this when a fan asked her about it because apparently she's upset as well. So they were both asking for their releases. But Lana went on Twitter this past week and replied to a fan that asked her the question and said, "Why?" It's like that's what happens when you have peasants trying to be journalists. Said she's quite happy with where she is doing, and she's currently organizing the Lana Revolution, like to build women, the Ravishing Revolution. Sorry. So she said she's quite happy where she is, and she knows Rusev's happy too. So.
Well, yeah, because the news with the Z in the other direction is that Rusev wanted out because the super foreign heel push went to Jinder Mahal. And I don't think that's the case because I think he's been unhappy since he got in trouble for cutting his hair.
That's when it all started. Like after he cut his hair without WWE's permission, that's pretty much when he's gotten shit on. But yeah, Nikki, I heard the same thing as you. That whole news with a Z that. Rusev was apparently back in the good books and was supposed to be getting and got promised that he was going to get this championship match of Randy Orton, but instead it went to Jinder Mahal.
So, you know, shit happens. I hate to say it that way, but...
Yeah, I mean, that was a squash... that wasn't the worst match of the night, though, by any stretch of the imagination. That went to the big cast, in my opinion, the big cast, big show with Enzo in the cage. I mean, we did not need to see Enzo strip down to his underpants, oil up, sneak through the cage, and just get his ass kicked.
Okay. Hey, oh, why not?
It's like, dude, we're supposed to keep this show PG, but now we're watching a man... get down to his tidy whities and lube up. It's like, no, this is not PG.
At least you didn't go complete casual nudist. How are you doing?
Yeah, you didn't see little Enzo there, so to speak.
But I know you must have been happy, Nikki, with what happened at SummerSlam because. Finally, Natalia got her dues.
Yes.
It's about effing time. I had always speculated that she was never Divas Champ because she rejected that stupid butterfly princess belt. But then
the Jim Williams My Little Pony belt, yes.
Yeah. The Sailor Moon Invitational belt. So now that we've got a real women's title and we've got some actual women's wrestling, it's nice to see that somebody whose gimmick, overreaching gimmick, complete gimmick, not the farting bullshit, not the crazy cat lady bullshit, she's a wrestler.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, speaking of women's wrestling for a second.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Nikki Bella, fuck you. You think that Total Divas and Total Bellas got the women's wrestling divas division out of the way? You are so out of your fucking mind. It's out of... Did you know she said that, right?
Yes, but I half agree with her only in the sense...
What?
That, no. Shut up and let me finish.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Go ahead.
Total Divas and Total Bellas open the door to other fan bases who wouldn't even consider watching wrestling. That's it. Nikki Bella couldn't wrestle her way out of a wet paper bag.
Yep.
And with the beach ball ban, that means she's never coming back to wrestling.
Very good. Because those.
Whoa, but here's an interesting thing about that. And I think Cena might get in a little bit of trouble for this. After Raw went off air this past week, Cena actually scolded the security and praised the fans that brought in beach balls. He said, this is what I love about WWE. You guys are throwing around beach balls, going absolutely crazy and nuts. Scott calling security assholes and everything. This is what I love. This is home. And I'm just like, so basically you're encouraging beach ball activity? What the hell, dude? That's not the company line.
And the company, you know, put their collective foot down on that, which I'm amused. People are protesting this. Number one, it's a distraction to the fans. Number two, it's disrespectful to the wrestlers. Number three, it only takes one idiot to send one of those into the ring and somebody gets hurt.
Exactly. And excuse me, that's why Cesaro got the biggest fucking cheer of the night when he destroyed the damn beach ball.
Yes. And I would like to shake his hand for it because that's what needed to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Somebody sent me a picture for a new Dean Ambrose shirt. Dear Santa Claus.
Yeah, that just came out. It's limited. No good Dean goes unhinged.
Okay.
Dear Santa Claus, I wear a large. Anyway.
Here's the thing. I don't know who's more unhinged. I don't know if Dean Ambrose is unhinged or if Brooklyn's more unhinged, because this is the same freaking crowd that not only was playing with beach balls, but was chanting for Elias to do one more song. It's like,
guys, you're not supposed to. That's not the. You're not. That's not being ironic.
No, I'm not being ironic. I'm just saying, I don't know who's more unhinged. Like his first song was just dreadful, and then they're like, one more song, and I'm like, oh my god.
Well, I mean, Brooklyn's bizarro world. We did get the new chant that we did get many title changes, as we talked about. Natalya, Sasha Banks got the women's title from Alexa Bliss, mm-hmm. and the fact that Bayley got booed out of the building yet again. And by the way, what was that outfit? Where did she get that from? The Mummers Parade? The Sasha one.
Oh, the Sasha's outfit? Oh, my goodness. And they were in Brooklyn, not New Orleans. Be careful where you pick your wardrobe, dearie.
I thought she was from Las Vegas when she came out with that. I'm like, Jesus, Las Vegas showgirl. What's going on?
I could also say Charlotte's on SmackDown. Anyway, so we also had Ambrose and Rollins grab the tag belts from Cesaro and Sheamus. I'm okay with this, and I'm hoping that means they're going to stick around together for a little bit, because their buddy is probably not going to be anywhere near the title picture anytime soon. The one belt that needed to change hands did not.
But God, was that a great match, though? Okay.
It was great for the whole 7 or 8 minutes that Lesnar was missing.
Holy shit! I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like, you had Braun Strowman kill the man, literally kill him, friggin' put him through not one, not two. Well, put him through two tables and then just chuck the fucking third one on him. It's like,
yeah.
And then while they're tending to him, Lesnar kind of did a floppy X. You know, he did a floppy ref's X, and I'm like, oh. You know, well, shit. You know, this is physicality you're not used to, Lesnar, because you're actually having a bump for somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, they haul him out, and I'm happy. I'm like, cool. This guarantees we're going to get a new champion, and I'm going to get to watch Joe and Roman and Strowman beat the holy fuck out of each other, and one of these three is going to walk out with the belt. Lesnar comes back, and I put my head in my hands.
You almost got it. You almost got it. But everybody was made, especially Braun, okay?
Oh, yeah. No, everybody looked great in this match.
Yeah, everyone looked great. Don't get me wrong. But my problem was that Braun Strowman got speared by Roman Reigns after like trying to power slam Lesnar. And the match still went on for a good 10 minutes after that. And Braun Strowman was down for that whole damn time. Please explain.
Don't know. But also, the U.S. title match was very good.
Oh, everybody worked that. Everybody worked that. Very happy.
And of course, the Demon. Mr.
It's always good to see the Demon King.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his extra taunt before his music hit.
Oh?
Of a woman singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." As if the Demon King reached into hell himself and brought up Sister Abigail to sing it to him.
Nice.
Sorry. My imagination runs wild on lovely gimmicks like this.
That would have been a cool way of going about it if they continued the story on. But as we clearly saw on Raw, they did not.
Yeah. This storyline is unfortunately rushed, and I really think they could have done a whole lot more with it. I'm kind of hoping it will be revisited in the near future.
However, also another match that really didn't really click that much to me was Nakamura Mahal.
And I'm not sure, you know, I'm really not sure whose fault that was. I mean, we even got our obligatory murdering of one of the Singh brothers.
Yes, we did.
I swear, one of them dies each pay-per-view.
I personally think it was because they kept Mahal and McCall and Nakamura away from each other for all those weeks. Had they have had like a tag team match or something like that, the two could have actually worked together and gelled, because this was their first time meeting ever in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there's going to be imperfections in the damn match when they're both not used to the other's style.
And I think some of it was the expected and, you know, the more than expected Singh brother interference. If they'd gotten thrown out again, or if Nakamura had taken him out backstage, or maybe somebody, you know, allied with Nakamura would have taken care of the Singh brothers. I think.
I was waiting for Kai and Ty to show up.
No.
He was announcing.
Funaki was busy.
Oh, and by the way, did you also notice that this was the first WWE pay-per-view that went to China first time around?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
I also liked that there was a neat touch in the Mahal Nakamura match where they actually cut to the international commentary. Now, it was kind of abrupt. It wasn't, you know, thrown to them by the American commentators. I liked it, and I would like to see more of that. But I need the teams to acknowledge each other for it to seem genuine.
And of course, we also heard the Hindi stuff too. So
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. They went to the Hindi table, and they went to the Japanese table, which I thought was a great idea.
That was beautiful. That was great.
But it wasn't connected. If you did this in a sport in a real sports arena, there'd be at least a throw to. Somebody would have said something. And that was not done. Then again, it's Tom Phillips, who's a rookie, JBL, who doesn't give a shit. And who else was at the table?
For SmackDown, I think it was only two.
Okay.
I think it was just a two. I think it was just a twofer, but the
show overall, there were complaints that the crowd was dead. I think what it was more is that WWE turned the mics down. I think the crowd was fine and being idiots at times, of course. And since WWE knew they were going to be idiots, they turned the sound down on them.
Yeah, with Brooklyn, I can guarantee you there are probably a lot of chances to, like, fuck this match and stuff like that. And here's the reason why the mic's probably got turned down.
So let me pull up the scores real quick. This is the first pay-per-view in several years that I have missed. I did not get my pick-ems in at all. Mainly because I was up to my neck in dice. I was up to my neck with wrestling stuff. And what was the other goofy thing that happened? Something about a metal dice that had tentacles. It was kind of cool. I'll have to find another picture of it. Anyway, so my score, while not listed, is essentially zero. But looking at the scores, it doesn't look like they fooled us very well this time around.
Okay. No, I don't think a lot of us expected them to do new champ palooza.
Right, but I know there was a ridiculous amount of points, but we still broke the middle point mark. Fourth was at the bottom with only four.
There's irony in there, but okay.
Just above him is Chris at five. After that, we have Stat Boy and Brian at six. Shano, you, Carl, and Cindy are all tied at third with seven.
Ooh.
That's all right. I'll take that.
VRM, who I don't know if he was in charge of the spreadsheet or not.
Hey. No, I think Josh, I think Stat Boy was.
Okay, so he's just trying to throw us off the trail. Okay. VRM actually got eight. So, if I remember correctly, this is what, 17 points or some ridiculous number like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the winner not only broke the halfway barrier, he broke the flush curse. And and registered a 9.5 on the Richter scale. I mean, his final score. So our clear winner, because I know he hasn't had the belt in a while, because otherwise he would be hitting us over the head with it every single week that he has it. Our SummerSlam Fizzleweight Champion is sitting right here at the table. Jason Block, congratulations.
Ta-da! Woohoo! Wow, 9.5? Wow. Holy crap. I thought I sucked, but wow.
You picked very, very well. And like I said, you broke the flush curse, because I see the Orton-Rusev match you flushed.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say I blame you. No wild cards played.
Okay.
I see a couple people thought Carmella was going to get involved. She did not. Kali is not coming back again, I hope. Demon Balor destroys Reigns after the main event.
No, I said no. I said he comes out during the event and takes out Reigns. Hence the reason why Reigns wouldn't be winning that match.
Oh, either way, I think I would have paid an extra $9.99 to see that, and I'm a Reigns fan. Let's see. Nakamura squishes Mahal. Yeah, that would be kind of nice. Corbin attempts to interfere. No. Undertaker returns. I know that they've hinted towards that. Shane O'Mac decides to give Owens the belt. Shane's playing it right down the middle, and I kind of like that.
Mm.
So dust settles from SummerSlam, which was a decent show. It wasn't a mind-blowing show, but it was a decent show. So now we get to Monday, where the Brooklyn crowd decides, hey, this is going to be kind of like the night after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the night started off with first with the good news that we're going to get to see
We've got a huge main event for No Mercy.
Yes, Lesnar, Strowman for a title match, and I'm getting No Mercy 02 flashbacks. Because okay. I hope it's that freaking brutal. No Mercy 02 main, Lesnar versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, one of the bloodiest matches in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get the bad news.
Yep.
Now, apparently when Cass had fallen out of the ring, early in the match, that something got knocked out of whack there.
He basically, Big Cass went for his traditional big boot. Enzo's pulled down the rope. Cass has gone over the ropes down to the floor. And he's unfortunately chucked early day Mark Henry,
mm-hmm.
where he's landed on his leg awkwardly. His leg's gone one way and his knee has gone the other.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically done some damage, and then he got back in the ring, started limping a little bit. Took down Enzo and then went for his Empire elbow. But as soon as he put weight down on it, he crumpled like a brick shit house and referee put up the X and said, nope, he's done. And Cass went completely nuts and started smacking the ropes, swearing, fuck, fuck, fuck.
And just for the record, if the wrestler is cussing, it's not a work.
Mm-hmm.
So just as his push is finally getting off the ground, those three dreaded letters.
A-C-L.
And yep. Meniscus.
Yes, he's out 9 months. Yay. There goes that WrestleMania paycheck.
Yeah, keep your leg up, Cass. We'll see you in the spring. You know, it sucks. It really does. It really does. And you know, then came the question, so what are we going to do with Enzo? Because with Cass gone, nobody else is going to kick Enzo's ass, although I think there would be a roster full of volunteers. It's, you know, the way some sites talk about Enzo's heat, you'd think he'd be taking a locker room full of finishers at a house show. So, to keep things moving along, Dorcas shows up. I mean, Mr. Angle. I should be respectful for Kurt because his job is hard enough without me calling him a dork. Kurt, you may be a man and you may be our general manager, but you're a dork. You're a huge dork. You are a Dorcas Maximus. I miss you, Edge. As Kurt Angle might be a little biased in the fact that he decided to bring over the free agent to Raw.
Do.
So, you know, okay, fine. Cena on Raw. This is cool. This is fine. Roman Reigns comes out. This should have stymied the entire Brooklyn crowd. Who the hell do we boo?
And the crowd acknowledged it. You both suck. You both suck.
It's like Cena meets Cena. I was like, good God. So, no, you know, this was going to be a train wreck in itself. And then Miz. The hell? Miz saving Cena in a segment? Technically?
Technically speaking, yeah. But actually, he was actually saving both Cena and Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, first of all, the universe was like imploding. It's like, what the fuck, man? I mean, the fact that it was the first time in a ring for both of them was great, you know, together.
Yeah.
And The Miz had a very shooty-shoot, you know, one of those shooty-shoot for Brooklyn-type promos.
Yeah. Dude, where's my respect?
You know, I've been here for, you know, for over 10 fucking years. You know, what the hell, man?
And why all those title matches on SummerSlam? No one wanted me to defend this?
Yeah, his basic words were friggin', I'm the only champion in this ring. And then points to Cena's shirt and goes, your shirt says earn respect? I've earned friggin' respect for 12 years. Where's my moment?
That's it. And dude, where's my respect?
Well, we got someone who beats the living shit out of you for respect. And that's Samoa Joe.
Which Miz did not mind having on board. He just had to remember that Joe could kill all three of the Miztourage.
By just looking at him.
By looking at him the right way, yeah.
And it looks like that's the road it's heading to. We're going to get Joe Miz IC title.
I'm okay with this.
According to rumors, because everyone's wondering, where's Joe's place in all this? Well, Joe's going for the IC title to kill the Miztourage.
And it will be a wonderful sight to see. So if that didn't make you happy, let's go over to the tag team division, where Seth and Dean are getting along swimmingly. It said, okay, you know, we said it before, we're going to rule this place in the tag division. Who wants some? And out stride the 20-year veteran still trying to prod Ed Nordholm to take out a fucking pen and sign over the fucking paperwork so that they can break.
Yes, or awaken, you know.
Yeah. Because Matt is chomping at the bit for it. He wants to do it so badly. And Jeff is like, chill. Just seriously, Matt, chill. We'll get there.
Yeah, you can tell because Matt Hardy started off with his traditional yes. and then Jeff just spoke normally and goes, listen, guys, we're just out here doing this. And then Matt's just like, yeah, we completely respect you guys. And I'm just like, fuck!
Cut it out, Matt. It's not official yet.
It's not official yet. Nope. It's getting there, but not. And by the way, that was a great match, too. That was long.
That's fine. As long if it's long and still entertaining, you can do that all you want. Give me 20 minutes of that kind of awesome. Then again, I just might be biased.
I am hoping that that new tag team finisher they're using, the knee maker meets Dirty Deeds, comes as a downloadable content for 2K18, because that was a sweet looking tag team finisher.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah, running knee into the Dirty Deeds. Very cool. Yep.
I call it the knee maker because I just call it how I see it. It's a rainmaker with a knee. Come on, people.
So yeah, good Monday coming out of SummerSlam in Brooklyn. You know, you guys are fucking spoiled. Seriously.
Yep.
You guys are so freaking spoiled.
Yeah. Here's the one person I felt sorry for out of all this was Jason Jordan, because the Brooklyn crowd shit on him a bit just due to the fact that he was in the ring with Finn Balor.
And that wasn't a horrible match.
No, it wasn't. I didn't mind it at all. And he did hold his own against Finn. I'm just pissed off that, you know, the Brooklyn crowd's just I'm glad they're buying into the storyline of like, oh, it's just because he's Kurt Angle's son. But, dude, come on. Like, you guys want new talent, but then when you get it, you're not happy.
Well, here's the problem. And may I say that I agree with the crowd, and I'll tell you why.
Well, you're from Brooklyn. You're allowed.
No. Thanks, Nikki. I missed you, too. No. Let me just explain why. I am willing to give new talent a chance. See Jinder Mahal. See everyone up there. But when you force a contrived angle of Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan being Kurt Angle's son, the crowd isn't into it. They don't suspend their disbelief, you know? That's all I'm saying.
That's the crowd's fault.
So, in other words, you believe the angle. So you're saying it's okay. That's what I'm saying.
I have been calling Jason Jordan Kurt Angle Jr. for months. And I swear to God that WWE is listening to our show because they keep stealing shit, as we saw on SmackDown.
We're moving over to Tuesday.
So on Tuesday, Chad Gable's like is all up in arms about the storyline, just like the Brooklyn crowd. And he goes to management about it, and they said, no, we got you covered, man. In fact, we found you another tag partner that should do quite nicely.
You could say he's the gold standard of tag team partners. See what I did there, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, you did. Yep.
Have we not been talking about this on this show for months?
Yes, you have.
WWE, you owe me so much fucking money right now. Anyway.
go to Triple H and ask him for it. He's good. He's got the black card. Yeah. Rock's got some.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Flash some of that metal my way. Even a few bucks and some neat stuff from shop or some decent tickets. Can you sneak me into TLC, guys? It looks like it's sold out.
But if Shelton Benjamin showing up wasn't enough to excite you people, SmackDown got even more glorious.
See there? That's a segue. And given what Rude what they had in Rude's video package for NXT Brooklyn, I did not expect him to be called up. Fully did not expect him to be called up. I wasn't sure what was happening when the spotlight went out on Aiden English until that cord hit. And Brooklyn justifiably lost their freaking minds. And if you listen carefully, even with the mics turned down, you can hear 10,000 plus singing along with that entrance.
And I will say, his entrance in the game is schmick. It's nice.
So,
and the thing is, though, there was a video package on NXT saying that he wasn't done with either Roderick Strong or he isn't done with Roderick Strong, who, if you saw, blew him a kiss after the match.
Which I, you know, I was like, okay, that's kind of cute. That's kind of weird. But yes, Bobby Roode hailed as a hero on SmackDown, beating up the theater geek. Come on, man. So people, you know, I think I talked to you about this, Jason. You said you insinuate that Bobby's face.
Yeah. Because Aiden's heel, he came in as a face, it seems to me, at least that time around.
It was a very face promo, too, after the match.
So, you know, it's... I get it, but I don't.
So, but we also had some very interesting thing having to do with the U.S. title and a couple of stories we talked about. So, AJ Styles opened the show and reinstated the U.S. Open Challenge. And, of course, Kevin Owens ain't having that shit. he's pissed because he thought he was screwed by Shane McMahon.
He's a Canadian. He has a justifiable argument. Mm. Oh, wait, they weren't in Montreal. Anyway,
So, Kevin showed the footage and Shane said, fine, you want another shot? I'm good with that. He said, no. I want to pick the ref. And Shane said, great, but it'll be your last shot. You pick the ref. You do what you got to do. That's fine. Okay. And so Owen comes out and he's asking Sami Zayn, and Sami's like, you know what? I'll do it. Then again, fuck no.
Nice touch that the ref shirt falls off of Kevin Owens' shoulder.
Right.
I mean, I know it's not intentional, but it was just a nice touch.
So then the Faction Police, who, by the way, were in one of the many commercials this week from the WWE.
Yes, they had a search operation over lost bread twists, following a trail of breadcrumbs to Little Miss Bliss.
Yes, who didn't really eat it. Okay.
No, and that's a standard in commercials, bite and smile.
Mm. Doesn't matter. It still made me want to buy a breadstick.
Yeah.
Anyway. Who's looking at the breadsticks anyway?
And then Owens says, are you out of your mind? Get the hell away. But then Baron Corbin says, give me a shot. You win. I'm in. He's like, Owen's like, fine, just do it.
Yes, and Corbin finally found the ref shirt with no sleeves. Too bad he doesn't have the arms to pull it off.
Yes. And in that match, you know, Corbin was doing his own thing, and Shane saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And Corbin's like, fuck this. I'm a wrestler, not a ref. Tosses the shirt to Shane. Shane finishes the job.
Poor Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But this just means that KO is now free to start peeking into the main event picture. Unfortunately, you know, we need faces up there.
We need, yeah, that looks... Oops, sorry, you go.
And we are kind of lacking in faces right now. And it's definitely not going to be Dolph anytime soon, because I don't know what he's got in mind for next week. But he ran down everybody else's gimmicks and decided, you know what, I think I'm going to try to do them all at once.
It would be amazing if he came out and tried to do everything. He'd be like, Jesus.
Although he was in the Cricket Wireless commercial about 50 times this week.
Which was, you know, okay, that's more the Ziggler I know and appreciate. And I realize that that's what he's been doing for years and years and years. And maybe he needs to change things up a little bit. But what do you do with him? You know, at this rate, it still feels like he's got a foot out the door.
Maybe he just needs to cut his hair again, get people talking.
No, I don't need taller Evan Bourne.
But speaking of Cricket Wireless, holy shit. Did you mean to make me cry like a baby? Seriously.
This was really, really awesome. It was a nice little inversion of a stunt that Cena did a couple of years ago, where he surprised Cricket customers who were Cena fans by bursting through the banner with trumpets. Meta Cena is a good Cena. Well, they invited him to sit and read a bunch of snail mail of people thanking him for what he, you know, what he is and what he represents and what he's been for the last decade. And he's reading them, and I know he appreciates them, and you know, that already had a lump in your throat. And while he's reading them, in another room, those who wrote those letters are listening. And then each was given a turn to speak to John.
Including a young boy who, that was, when he, I read this, when I heard this, I was done. I was done. Young boy whose mom had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was upset when he heard it was positive. So John Cena gave the son a wristband and then the son gave the wristband for mom to wear during chemo. And she's cancer free. And they, when that happened, you saw the mom brought the thing in like a baseball box, you know, the little baseball display.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. I'm done now. I'm, yeah.
Okay. Attention, internet wrestling fans of all divisions and types. This is why Cena does not want to, does not need to, does not have to turn heel. We're a country that's flat out run out of role models. And we need somebody like Cena.
Yeah. And it's gotten 2 million views in like 3 days already. It's gone viral.
Yeah, as well it should. Because we need a little good news out there.
Yep. And let's see. I'm just trying to see what else. Okay. Ellsworth, you're a dumbass. Okay. No, I mean, that's without saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't tell the plan of what you're going to do. You're not a James Bond villain. Right? You don't tell the plan. I'm sorry.
No, that was just absolutely classic. I'm just sitting here snickering and waiting for Carmella to turn around and brain him with the briefcase. Going, wow. And I thought 80s cartoons were out of vogue.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. That can't be any worse than the new memes that are going on the Facebook boards, where they're showing various monster wrestlers in the ring with Ellsworth. And underneath it, a caption from Dragon Ball Abridged. Hey, look! A Pokemon!
Oh. But, yeah, and in that match, not and Natalya tagged Carmella in and she took the fall because Ellsworth.
Because Ellsworth, yes.
Oh, man. But, holy crap. I'm just trying to think. Oh, yeah. Remember we were talking about Nikki Bella for a minute before we go into, like, 205 and stuff? Supposedly Nikki's doing Dancing with the Stars. And WWE has signed former Ring of Honor star Leo Rush. And I'm very psyched about that.
I'm going to have to look further into his work. As for the Nikki Bella thing, that's one more reality show that I don't watch. So good on her.
Besides,
Jericho would dance circles around her. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of which, he's got a book coming out next. Was it next week?
Yeah. So, anybody got book signing dates? I'm gonna have to go chase him down.
As a matter of fact, yeah. Hold on. Chris Jericho book tour. Live research, folks. The name of the book is, of course, No is a Four-Letter Word. There's going to be one in September. Oh, let's see. There's going to be actually one this Tuesday here in New York, which I wish I could go to, but I can't because it's what time is it? 5 o'clock, and I'm working. Damn, that sucks.
Colin dead.
No. thanks, but no, I need money. Okay. I need the monies. I'll find it because I know he's got a bunch of signings coming up, so.
And I would, you know, I would be willing to get up early to go catch him at a book signing.
Oh, unfortunately, there's only 5 book signings, one in New York, one in Jersey, one in Tampa, one in Orlando, one in L.A., as far as I know.
The hell, Jericho?
Okay.
However.
Oh, but I have a question for you, Nikki.
Yeah?
Are you ready for the showdown in the swamp?
It reminds me, I need to go buy me a butcher's foam axe. Now, I know you and Brian did a live reaction thing with Southpaw?
Yeah, it was a live reaction, yeah.
Okay. I got to watch this one evening while I was still in Indianapolis. And the spirit has been well kept from the first series. We've gone back about a year, and so now we know, now we know why Chet is so upset about Susan. Mm-hmm. We got to see how tight Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad were.
Because this was a prequel, right?
Yeah. Showdown in the Swamp was happening in 86. Lethal Leap Year was in 87.
Ah.
So we saw that the Ascension characters were trying to do Top Gun, trying to do the Top Gun stuff and got in trouble with Paramount, which I think was hysterical because I've actually managed a team that came out to Danger Zone and had the sunglasses, they didn't have the flight suits, but it was still funny. We got to see that Susan is played by Renee Young, which means Dean Ambrose better find his freaking way over there unless they will at least confirm my headcanon that Susan dumped Chet for Clint Bobsky.
Hey, speaking of Clint Bobsky, hey, Shane, what do you think of Clint Bobsky looking at Debbie Desperado's double Ds?
You still there, Shane?
Yeah, well, no, I'm here. Sorry. I'm here. Smart man, I'd say.
We had good Lord, whether, well, like I said, the Butchers. Seth was of course having a blast with it. Rhino just fits right in.
Yes, Jason, let's put it this way. At least Despy Desperado's double D's are actually getting put to use because we know Tyson Kidd's not doing anything with them.
Well, first of all, we also got a new sponsor, which was Old Spice this time around. And both Mr. McElroy and Chet Cheddarfield were the quote-unquote spokespeople for the future spray. Right? The future spray.
Yeah.
Let's see. You also had Adam Dung with The Miz, who was great. You had Jason Jordan as Porkchop Jones. You had Belvis Wesley back. You had John Johnson, TJP.
Now, did you notice the glow/wow style intro that they did? I thought, I just lost it at that point.
That was also the Wrestle Rumble rap too, I believe.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm like, okay, nice touch. Very nice touch.
And of course, there was also somebody. Oh, and AJ Styles as Malibu Al, the car salesman.
AJ Styles gets my award for who the hell are you? I know you're one of the wrestlers, but which one? I did not recognize him immediately.
And of course, the New Day as Voo and Do.
It was the 80s, folks. That's probably what their gimmick would have ended up being.
Sadly true. Sadly true.
In their defense, Jabari does a Kamala knockoff gimmick on top of the Super Oprah gimmick. So depending on which one you want, there's two different fees. So, just saying.
Oh, and one other thing about 205 Live before we sort of wrap this up, because it's been a crazy week. What do you think of Enzo going to 205 Live?
That's where he was always heading.
That's where he kind of needed to be, because, I mean, yeah, him and Cass were like the two dogs in the Warner Brothers cartoons. Unfortunately, the little dog never quite got to the position where the big bulldog would be, you know, bouncing around him. But Enzo has one talent, okay, two, that he can bring to 205 Live. He is annoying as hell. Which is good for, you know, against faces and heels. But you cannot deny this man is an awesome promo.
No, you can't. He's good. He's awesome on the mic. He's brilliant on the mic. His wrestling, well, we haven't seen much of his wrestling lately. Once again, makes you wonder what the hell's going on there, but hopefully with him moving to 205 Live, that changes.
Well, like I've mentioned on the show before, I personally thought it was because after the scare with his head injury in the Vaudevillains match, that they were going to treat him with kid gloves because they didn't know if he could take another bump like that. But then he was started doing crazy shit again. I was like, okay, they're just, you know, but they're still going to guard him. Now I think he's cleared enough that they're going to go let him bump around in the ring. And a lot of the guys on 205 Live have the experience that you can trust them even with a rube like Enzo. But he's going to help guys like Cedric Alexander, like TJP, two or three other guys who really need help in the promo department. I love TJ Perkins, but he doesn't convince me when he talks. Drew Gulak and Tony Nese have come a long way. Mm. Now that Tony Nese actually figured out that he had something to talk about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and hi. And I really was hoping for an actual gentleman's duel with Gallagher and Brian Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos for Gallagher saying that, you know, Mr. Kendrick is not very gentlemanly, and to be fair, I haven't been either.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He's not feeling this right now.
No. It's gotten a little too personal for the gentleman. And that's why we're going to have a great big no DQ match next week. So he doesn't have to, you know, doesn't have to worry if the queen's watching. There's no rules.
For now. So,
but yeah.
I mean, does Neville, I mean, Enzo doesn't get the cruiserweight belt, does he? Does he need it?
Good Lord, no. No.
If Enzo gets it, I can guarantee you there'll be a lot of pissed off people.
That'll get the fans to revolt because, you know, we've almost got Cedric Alexander mended to the point that he should be in title contention. I don't understand why Jack Gallagher has not been in the title picture, just for the enormous British contrast between this gentleman elf and the king of the dwarves. I mean, Neville.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick's had his title run. You know, he doesn't really need it. Tozawa will always be up there. Now that we're finally getting to see more of Grand Metalik, Drew Gulak's no fly zone thing should translate now from, you know, his endless affair with Mustafa Ali. Now he can start ripping into Metalik and maybe Lince Dorado. Because, yeah, with him all cleaned up and in a suit, he looks like he's running for office.
Okay.
So, you know, 205 Live has done themselves the favor. They've picked up the pace that they sorely needed to do. They needed to... It's a fast-paced wrestling style, so the show should be fast-paced, too. And they've actually done that. Although, admittedly, shows going forward, if Enzo's on the show, they will be the longest nights of Corey Graves' life.
Yeah.
If Corey was still wrestling, he would personally kill Enzo every week.
Oh, yes, he would.
And we would watch.
Yep. By the way, speaking of Enzo, not Corey, he and Renee Young are hosting the IGN WWE 2K18 roster reveal.
Ooh.
We got some good ones.
Okay. We got some good ones. Let me get the roster up. Because we had Samoa Joe this week.
Mm-hmm.
As the guest helper for the guest, and by the way, it was funny. Corey Graves said next week there's going to be a guest that Renee Young is really going to be really like, and I know exactly who it is too. I'm guessing who it is. Duh.
Oh, there's only one person that quite fits that bill.
Yes. Okay. So. In the Legends division, I believe we talked about it last week, but the new additions are Goldberg, Earthquake, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Larry Zbysko, Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, Edge, Godfather, Eddie Guerrero, and Daniel Bryan. in the women's division. Maurice, Naomi, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Ivory, Natalya, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Tamina, and making her video game debut, Ember Moon.
Okay. Very cool. Okay.
Three tag teams, the Von Erichs, Kerry and Kevin, Jimmy and Jey Uso, the Usos, and the Hype Bros. Okay.
Okay.
And then the all-time greats, The Rock, Randy Orton, Triple H, the pre-order bonus Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena. Okay. And in the current superstars department, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, The Miz, and Roman Reigns. So those, then there will be more revealed next week on IGN. Yes, awesome. and there's been some entrance footage shown, and it's been really fun. Really good stuff.
Sweet. So, I think I'm going to put a little, I'm going to wrap this show up.
Real life gets in the way.
Well, no, technically I still have about another hour, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make sure that I have proper time to prepare. So before we go, we got to sell some soap. So, Shane?
Oh, sorry. I'm just busy playing Supercards right now. On the road to glory.
There's that. That's a plug.
I can't say blame him. Are you still on AJ?
Yeah, I've just started working on AJ now.
Okay. Let's see where I'm, because I'm on AJ as well, and I'm about halfway through. But yes, for sadly, with Big Cass laid up, at least he'll get a little bit of royalties since he is the SummerSlam 17 card, part of the new tier introduced into Supercards.
Yes, it's either him. It's him first, and then if you're bold enough to get even further, you can get Kurt Angle.
Right, but I didn't get him in Team RD last week, so it's kind of silly. I'll try. But, yes, the new tier was introduced with a goodly bunch of new cards. My two SummerSlam 17s are Mojo Rawley and Jason Jordan. And at least this Mojo card looks hype.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also throw out there that WWE Champions is continuing to beg for business as they've introduced ring gear as rewards, something they were advertising on the shows. Even if you were already a player of the game, you did get a free shot at gear for your guys. Yeah, well, yeah. And given that I have three different versions of Roman Reigns on my team, I have the NXT version, I just got the Shield version, and I have the Juggernaut. So I got new gear for Juggernaut. My latest addition to that team was Titus O'Neil. And it's still next to impossible to get anything and everything you need to continue to raise your character's levels. So if you have to choose between WWE games, go to Supercard. At least you feel like you're getting somewhere. All right. So, hey, Muck Amuck. If you didn't fall asleep.
If not, I'll help him out a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's y'all's department. Have fun.
I'll do that. We just recorded the season preview edition of the BS Big Show. This Sunday will be our draft special because football is happening in a couple of weeks. Can you believe it or not? We're going to be recording right now after this a new episode of Touch 'Em All, the baseball podcast. We recorded a new episode of Pixel Nation WLTI last night. More game show news and more video game news. And you can listen to, and of course, the panel with Gordon Pepper, and you can listen to all the programs here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and anywhere. And of course, we are still stuck in a good way at $7,000. for the donations for the Children's Hospital, Children's Miracle Network, home game enterprises with the Z.com, PRIZES, prizes, PRIZES.com. There's a donate button, but donate now button there. And of course, Q&A trivia.com/Ticona. You can register for Ticona 8, which comes out next August, the same weekend as Gen Con, sadly.
Sorry, man. I'm already slated.
Well, do know this. If you register for Labor Day, it's only $129 to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have the greatest time of your life. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And of course, all the programs here on Spectrum One.
So, I was going to have something to promote, as AWF was supposed to have an event this weekend, the 26th, that has since been canceled. It has been rescheduled to a later date, so I will probably not be doing any kind of wrestling stuff until September 9th, and I will get more information as it becomes available. Also, shout out to Casey Clark, the owner of Spartacus Publishing, who was at Gen Con this year once again to show off Luchador Way of the Mask and all of its supplementary books. Plus, he sells Luchador masks. So I have to tell this story. While me and Casey were shooting the breeze, a young man dressed in an elaborate red and black pirate costume comes up and takes a look around. He's curious about the masks, so we find a red and black one for him, and he put it on. We showed him in a mirror, and he says, "Oh, yeah, I got to do this." And I said, "Before you go, sir, I will need to take a picture with you." So if you look on my Facebook, you will see that I have recruited a pirate half-vampire luchador. Ninja pirate zombie robot. Anyway, to Gen Con, I want to thank you for making a wonderful show for the 50th anniversary. Shout outs to the dice companies that I frequent, Game Science, Crystal Cast, Chessex, and of course Q Workshop, who make some of the most elaborate dice you will ever own and enjoy. Also some shout outs to a couple of artists who were more than happy to enjoy some of my Double Geek. I'll explain off air. Didn't spend a whole lot of money, but I had a wonderful time. Have some wonderful additions to my dice collection and a lot of good memories. Oh, yeah. Shout out to a gaming buddy of mine, Sean Patrick Fannin, who has his ear to the ground in the Denver wrestling community. And I want to apologize to him, even though it wasn't my fault, that he had to deal with Vince Russo recently. Thoughts and prayers to you, Sean.
You poor bastard.
My apologies for not being here last week, but I will be here next week. And the week after, there might be an At the Guardrail. I will be in Rochester, Minnesota on Labor Day for a WWE live event. I know it's not Raw. The tickets were too cheap. And hopefully I'll have some house show stories and maybe a new recruit or two. But that's about all I got. After all, I'm right here with a show that talks about lots of things that I love, mostly wrestling, a little bit of video games, and for once I get to talk a little bit about Gen Con. Woot! Jason, your dice will be in the mail soon. I apologize, I did not get them out today. Something about sleep and cats.
Yes, that's fine. All good.
So, for Jason Block, for Carl Schneer, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Somehow we got through almost 10 hours of wrestling in the course of less than 2 hours. Please listen to the entirety of the broadcast for the bonuses at the end, and we will definitely look forward to hearing from you next week as we continue this wonderful tradition. We'll be right back.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.